Copolyphum and Bayes. I'm sorry?
We're holding Copolyphum and Bayes last line.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot.
Okay, so we were in the middle of a discussion like this. We started on Copolyphum and Aleph at the bottom, which are Oshia. Going back even further, we had two different versions of Rav Oshia saying that you could or couldn't be Poydim and Nachos or Nesachim, which are Tahar, that you could or couldn't be Poydim and when they're Tahar. We had one version that said that he said you can't, and another version that said that you could. Then we got into a discussion that Rav Oshia started saying that according to Rav Shimon, we're going to say that a mincha that was made Pigul is not Metame Tumas Oslin. So that led into a whole discussion of what exactly are the criteria that Rav Shimon uses to determine whether something is Tomei Tumas Oslin. We said that there's two considerations. One is whether it's also Bahana or not. If it's Mutar Bahana, obviously it's Metame Tumas Oslin. If it's also Bahana, then Rav Shimon will say then it's not Metame. But only, we said, if it didn't have Shasa Kosher. If it had Shasa Kosher, even though now it's also Bahana, then we said he'll still say that it is Metame Tumas Oslin. Okay, so then we quoted a Braisa. Then we quoted a Braisa where Shimon said that there's a distinction within Noser itself. It depends whether it became whether it was long lifne Zrika or La'acha Zrika. Is it that the Zrika had been done and later on the meat of the korban was left over and became Noser, or is it that the Zrika had not been done yet? And then he said in the Braisa that when it comes to pigul of animal korbanus, then it's not Metame Tumas Oslin, but with a mincha it is Metame Tumas Oslin. So that led us to a discussion of what would be the difference as far as the pigul. So we argued that maybe we're talking about in the case of the mincha that he was makdish it while it was still growing, and therefore it never had shasa kosher, as opposed to a regular case would be that it did have shasa kosher. And the last thing we said was as far as noser, we can also distinguish between when he says there's a difference between whether the zrika happened or not. We can say that it doesn't mean whether the zrika actually happened. Because he'll hold that even though the zrika hasn't been done yet, you could do it, and therefore it should be considered as if it was done already. There's the potential to do it, therefore we should consider that it was done already. But we said the case would be that Rav Shimon would distinguish, according to Rav Oshia anyway, Rav Shimon would distinguish between whether the korban was shechted so late in the day that there was no time for the zrika, and then it became noiser, versus when it was shechted earlier in the day and they could have done zrika and they didn't.
In which case,
we would say that it had shasa kosher, because even if they didn't actually do the zrika, they could have, and therefore would have shasa kosher, and therefore would be metame tumas oslin. Okay, so now continuing that discussion, last line of Copolyphum Bayes. The Gemara asks, so you're making the distinction then, so far, that there's a difference between whether he could have done the thing or whether not. So we said that he could have been poida, and therefore it's considered as if he was poida. He could have done zrika, therefore it's considered as if he did, etc. So now let's consider, back in that braisa, of a pigul, ben b'kodshim kodshim, ben b'kodshim kalim. What about the case in that braisa where we said that he made a korban pigul, an animal korban, that is, whether it was kodshim kodshim or kodshim kalim. And now let's consider, mitzvah l'mizrake. There is nevertheless a mitzvah to sprinkle the blood. Because we've learned earlier that we learned at the very beginning of Zvachim, and also again at the very beginning of Amasetta, that even if he had a machshava, even if he had a wrong machshava that made the korban possible or pigul, there's still a mitzvah to do the rest of the avodas with the proper kavana, with the proper machshava. The person won't be yotzei the korban, right? But nevertheless. So there is a mitzvah still to sprinkle the blood. The iboy zorik.
What's the accomplishment?
The accomplishment would be that the korban's been brought. So in the case where it's not pigul, where it's possible, the accomplishment, well, in the case where the korban is shaloi l'shma, most of the time it means the korban is kosher, and the korban even eats the parts, and whatever, it's just the owner wasn't going to his thing. Even in the case where the korban is possible, nevertheless, you still have, okay, so in the case where the korban is possible, fine, you break off at that point, you don't sprinkle, and you go and burn the korban. In the case of pigul, you don't know that it's going to be pigul until all the rest of the avodas have been done l'shma. We've learned before that if there's any other stool mixed in there, then it's not pigul anymore.
Right.
So the point is it's only pigul, so there is still a mitzvah to sprinkle the blood without having any machshava zara, because after all, there is a mitzvah to, there's an, Rashi says, the osur l'shanes b'kodshim, the fact that there's an isur to have a wrong thought when it comes to kodshim, and the iboy zarek, and the fact of the matter is, had there not been a case of pigul, he could have sprinkled the blood. Rikatoni, the Aina Matama Tomas Open. And nevertheless, we're saying, Rav Shimon is saying that Pigul is not Matama Tomas Open. Why not? It had a Shatah Kosher. According to our definition now of Shatah Kosher, that Shatah Kosher involved that you could have sprinkled the blood, even though maybe you didn't actually do so, that we would say, nevertheless, it still had Shatah Kosher because you could have done that. Well, in this case, it had Shatah
Kosher.
Hold on. That's going to be the answer. My lab, the pigul bezrika. Now, by the way, the Chedushim HaMiyachasim LaRashba points out the Gemara could have answered it the same thing as before, that we're talking about whether it was late in the day versus not. But the point is, the Makshin himself was asking the question, obviously knew that, and he wouldn't have accepted such an answer in this case. So we need a different answer. Okay. So my lab, the pigul bezrika. L'chura, then, we're talking about that which stage did he make his pigul in, which of the four avodas, the pashtus, the last one, zrika. So therefore, there was a shatah kosher up until that point, because it was shechted properly, the kabbalah was done properly, the halacha was done properly. Only when it came to the zrika did he have a thought of pigul, did he have a thought of chutzav mana. And then therefore it had shatah kosher. It had, and it seems that it had shatah kosher then, and nevertheless, with Shimon is saying it's not in the Talmud Shemotzofen. The answer is, you pigul b'shrika. No, you don't understand. You don't have to say that. You can explain that Rav Shimon is talking about where he made it pigul in the first stage, in the shrita. But therefore, it didn't have shatah kosher, because before the shrita, you couldn't eat it, because it would be Eirim and Achai, and right away, the shrita was done. Well, we're talking about, Yeshen was shrita material about soif. I mean, the shrita applies from beginning to end. But whatever, the point is that there came a point, there was never any point where the meat of this animal could have conceivably been mutter to eat, because before you shechted, it was also as Eirim and Achai, and after you shechted, it's now pigul, yeah. So the question is, I'll pigul bazooka mai. So what are you telling me then that if you were to make it pigul when it came to the zrika, then you would say hachinami de matamet shemas, or for that matter, during the middle two avodas, hachinami de matamet shemas erfin. Are you telling me Reb Shimon would say that then the meat of that korban is matamet shemas erfin? In that case, if it was pigul bazooka, where then we would argue that it had shatah kosher.
Yeah.
Had shatah kosher after shrita, right? Well, in that case, Abitoni pigul b'mincha matamet shemas erfin, then why is the Braisa making a distinction between pigul in an animal korban versus pigul in a mincha? Instead of doing that, let's look what he does. Instead of that, if Rav Shimon actually holds, as we're explaining, the difference is that in general, if a Tana wants to tell us that a certain din only applies in a certain case, and so like this, okay, Tanaim don't always have to spell out everything they're saying, that's left for the Amidoy. But if, anyway, the Tana has to tell us two different cases, and he's telling us in one case he's saying it is pigul, and in the other case it's not pigul. So instead of bringing in a whole different case, instead of bringing in a mincha versus an animal korban, he
says
that within an animal korban itself there's a distinction. Lislug v'lidah, you should make a distinction between within an animal itself. The medvar mu, the pigul b'shchita, when would we say that it's not matama tumas oflin only if he was mafagol during the shchita, so he didn't have shatah kosher? Aval pigul b'zrika matama tumas oflin, but if he did the pigul and zrika, it would be matama tumas oflin. The fact that he doesn't make that distinction makes it seem that he would say that pigul by an animal, it's not matama tumas oflin, period. No difference, shatah kosher, not shatah kosher, nothing. The only distinction we can make is between an animal korban versus a mincha. And in that case, then that breaks down everything that we were saying from Rav Oshia, that there's a difference between shatah kosher and not. Right. The answer is no. Pigul b'mincha is tzrichale. No, because there is actually a chiddush in what Rav Shimon is saying when he mentions the case of pigul by a mincha. There is a chiddush in informing us that. Like this, we were thinking that there's no chiddush in it because you can make a distinction between an animal itself, between shchita versus zrika. Now we're saying there's a different chiddush that he wants to teach us in connection with a mincha. Namely, the apple got the tigul b'tmissa. Now let's consider, with a mincha you also have four avodas, of course, and the first of those avodas is tmissa, which the apple got the pigul b'tmissa. Suppose with the mincha he made the pigul in the first avoda, the tmissa, the koymet mincha k'shchita dami, where after all taking the koymet from the mincha is the parallel to shchita of an animal, as we've said many times. So you would think in that case it didn't have shatah kosher. No, afilu hachin mitame tumas oflin. Nevertheless, we would say that it is mitame tumas oflin. However, hopefully, shatah kosher mi'ikra, because the fact of the matter is it did have a shatah kosher to begin with, because unlike an animal, where before it was shechted, it was Eivim and Achai, and therefore, before it was shechted, it was Eivim and Achai, and therefore, there's nothing to talk about. There's no
shatah kosher.
With a mincha, it had a shatah kosher. So therefore, sort of Shimon is telling us a distinction.
It's not very mincha before his came. I mean,
no, well, it is. The mincha was brought to the Beth Mincha, sure it is. But the point is also that the important point is that Reb Shimon, in other words, we were thinking that Reb Shimon is saying, I can't find any distinction between within animal korbanos. Pigul of animal korbanos is never metamet from a person. The only distinction I can find is between them and a mincha. Now we're saying no. Hello. What Reb Shimon is saying is that when it comes to pigul in the first stage of a korban. There's a difference between an animal korban and a mincha. Namely, by an animal there's no shasa kosher, whereas by mincha there is. So that's the distinction. He's not trying to make a distinction. It's not so much that he's making a distinction between animals and, well, I mean it is. He's making a distinction between animals and an office. But in other words, he's not even talking about what would happen if it was done in a later stage of the avodah, because obviously there it has shasa kosher with either an animal or a mincha, and therefore, of course, it's the time of Tumah Pesach. The chiddush is that when it comes to an animal, we say it never had shasa kosher because it wasn't mutter before shechita, whereas Eidim and Achai, whereas by mincha there is. Tosfos asks the question, in that case, what's the chiddush? We ourselves can realize that there's a big difference between before an animal is shechted and before a mincha, before a kohanim is taken from a mincha.
Now, we could have thought, maybe...
Okay, but still.
I have thought that there's no shasa kosher.
Okay, but, so one of the answers that's given is actually, you learned yesterday when you started talking about the concept of shasa kosher, we mentioned that, for example, you have the case of basa b'chalav, where even if they're soaked together, you have the milk and the meat are combined together, they're still not also b'achila, midaraita anyway, or b'hana, unless bishul was done. So therefore, by the same logic over here, we could have thought to say therefore that maybe we don't consider that it had shata kosher. Maybe we'd say that it does that it's not considered to have shata kosher until the first avoda is done, sort of like what you were saying, until it actually starts the process of being a mincha by having the frame taken from it, and therefore the point is Reb Shimon wants to tell us now. Okay. So that's the chiddush then. Okay, so then, in other words, so it's not a problem the fact that the Braisa mentioned an animal versus a mincha, because again, the point is not to say that always with an animal, tigul makes it still matamet tumas oslin, whereas with a mincha not. It's rather a difference, it was the other way around, that with an animal, if it's not matamet tumas oslin and by mincha, yes, that's not really the distinction. The distinction is really whether it had shasa kosher or not. In the case of a mincha, it always had shasa kosher, because before the kohanim was taken, it was something that was food, it was able to be eaten. Whereas an animal, it depends whether it was the first avodah or any of the later ones. Okay, so now at an earlier stage, before when we were going through the Braisa, we mentioned that we were asking about going back to the case of Noiser in the Braisa. We said if Shimon made a distinction within Noiser, whether it was Noiser before or after Zvika. Where he said if it was noiser before Zrika, then it's not Matamet Shumas Oslin, but if it was after Zrika, then it's Matamet Shumas Oslin. And we were saying in that case, we were saying it's a Shasa Kosher, but we also brought up the point of Shimon, that things that are going to happen are considered as if they already happened, and therefore, or at least we said Pottery, Kola Omid Lizrit to Pottery Dummy, so therefore we should argue that therefore we should argue that even though the Zrika wasn't done yet, it should be considered to that extent as because it would have been done. Therefore, it could have been done, it had shasa kosher, and that led us into explaining that when we said lifnei zrika and achal zrika, we're talking about whether it was late in the day and there was no time for the zrika, versus whether it was earlier in the day and there was time for it, even though we didn't actually do it. So now let's return to that. Amar Rav Ashi, amrita l'shmaita kamed Rav Nachman. So Rav Ashi says, I told over this discussion to Rav Nachman. First to point out, it's a little hard to say Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman is Rava's Rebbe, and Rav Ashi was the Gemara mentions elsewhere that Rav Ashi was born when Rava passed away. Okay, maybe even that, not necessarily does mean literally he was born on the day Rava passed away, but nevertheless, in other words, he was fairly young when Rava passed away. He wouldn't have been old enough to be around when Rav Nachman was alive. The Tosfos says either the Girsa should be Rav Kahana, and there were a lot of Rav Kahanas in Chas, but one of them was Rav Ashi's Rebbe, or maybe it should be over here Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, who was a Talmud of Rava, and therefore it would fit. Okay, anyway. So Rav Ashi says, I told this over to Rav Nachman or Rav Kahana, and He said, Afilu Tema Lonma, or Ravashi himself said, Afilu Tema Lonma. No, you don't have to explain that the Braita is talking about whether it became noiser, whether the korban was brought late in the day and there was no time for the zrika, or whether it was brought earlier in the day and zrika could have been done. No, you don't have to say that. Afilu Tema Lonma. You could even say that when it came, no, that means, in other words, that it was actually regular lon, in other words, that they're the boser and the dam were left overnight. Even regardless of whether there was time to do the zrika or not, Basilu came into pigul bezrika, and in the case of pigul, we don't have to say, like we said before, that the pigul of the animal that we're distinguishing between whether the pigul was in the shrita, in which case there was no shaka kosher, versus in the zrika when there was. Rav Ashi says we don't have to make that distinction, because we could say the iboy porik amrinan. It's one thing we could say that. We could say that if he wanted to be poda, he could have been poda. We do say such a thing. We had Rav Shimon saying before, that brought Rav Shimon, we said Rav Shimon had said that when it comes to the parad, your merch, the tamah, tumas, open, because you could be poda even after it was shafted. So Rav Shimon, until the parad, your merch, is burnt. Then it becomes ashes, and then once it's ashes, it's not food anymore. Actually, we're gonna readdress that issue on Oman Bay, but we'll get to that anyway. The point is that we see Rav Shimon said that even though you weren't poided, considered as if you did. However, Rav Ashi says, fine, that will say. We can say that if he wanted, he could have been poided, and therefore, even though he didn't, we'll consider as if he did, and therefore, it had shat kosher. On the other hand, Iboy have a Zorik Loyam Rinan. But we wouldn't say that if he wanted to sprinkle, he could have. That distinction we're not going to say. If you actually sprinkled the blood of the korban, then fine, and it has, then at that point it has Shasa Kosher, and that Moser therefore will be Matamah to Masoson, because it could have been eaten during the time, and instead you left it over. Whereas if the Zrika wasn't actually done, we're not going to say, Rav Shimon is not going to say that it's considered as if it was done. No, we're talking about Zrika of Dam. So Rashi says the distinction is like this. Pidyon involves only words. You verbally say, I'm taking the kedusha of this object and transferring it to this money. So that's a verbal thing. That you can say. Even if you didn't actually say it, it can be considered as if he did. And therefore we can say that he could have said it, and therefore it has shasa kosher. But Zrika is a maisa. To say that even though he didn't do a maisa, we should consider that maisa was done, that we're not going to say. That far we don't. There's another distinction that's explained also that I think the Spatemus says an idea that the difference is that pidyon is basically you have the thing was already food. It's just that it was also to eat by Zorim or by whoever's not supposed to eat it as a korban. But nevertheless, it was food. So pidyon takes away that iser that sits on top of it being food. Therefore, we can say even if you didn't actually do the pidyon, it can be considered as if you did and give it a shasa kosher. Whereas over here, zrika is something. The thing is not considered food because you can't actually eat the korban until the blood is sprinkled. So therefore, we're not going to say.
How do you do pidyon? It just expresses.
Again, pidyon, like Rashi said, you just say verbally that I want to be poda. This object that I gave to Hector, to Beta Kabayas or whatever, so that's a distinction as well. Okay, Tosfos talks about that. Actually, there are other places in Shas where it seems that we do hold this concept of Kola Omid Lizrit to Zoruk Yomi. The one answer is that wouldn't work for instead of Ashi. Another answer is there might be distinction between whether the zrika ended up being done or not in this case. The zrika never actually was done, the thing. Okay.
Fine.
So therefore, sort of Ashi says you don't have to be doichik and say that the case of the braisa, that lon lifnei zrika versus la'acha zrika, lifnei zrika would mean that there was no time to do the zrika, and la'acha zrika would mean that there was time to do it, they just didn't do it. You don't have to say that. It could mean that actually whether zrika was physically done or not, because you don't say kolo'im v'lizrit tazorosom. And the same thing with pigul, you don't have to say that there's a distinction between what stage of the avodah the pigul was done in. You don't say the kolo'im v'lizrit tazorosom dummy, and therefore, even if the pigul was done when it comes to the final avodah of the korban, of the animal korban, nevertheless, we would still consider it that it didn't have a shaka kosher, because the zrika has to be done in order for you to be able to eat it. And in this case, by the time of the Zrika, it was already pickled. Or during the Zrika, rather, it became pickled.
So there's no Shachat Kosher.
So the time between the Shkita and the Zrika is not considered a Shachat Kosher, says Rav Ashi, because the fact of the matter is, even though you could have sprinkled it, the kashrut, the fact is you didn't. The fact is you made the Kohen pickle during the Zrika. Okay, the Poshim also point out, by the way, that, and therefore, so it didn't have a Shachat Kosher. Only if that's the thing. So that's why in the Braisa over here we would say that with most of the distinction between before and after Zrika, because the Zrika may well have been done by Kashrus and then the Korban became Noster, versus Pigle, once you finish with Zrika and the Korban is now Mutter to eat, there's no further avertness, there's no further time when it's going to become Pigle. Okay, the Karen Oda points out that you do have to burn the Emurim before you eat the Korban also. However, the thing is, that's not indispensable because let's say the Emurim got lost, the Korban is still kosher. Once the four avodas are done, okay. All right. Mace, the Gemara says, okay, I have a contradiction to this whole idea that we're saying that this last idea that we just said that we don't say kol ha'omer lizra kazor klami. So like this, we have a Mishnah klal omer Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said a general rule as far as the dinim of Me'ila. Any korban where there was a time when it was mutter for the kohenim, and the Gemara discusses over there, by the way, does it mean mutter for the kohenim to eat, or does it mean mutter for the kohenim to continue with the avodah? Whatever it is, anyway.
No,
the Gemara discusses over there the possibility that it may mean enough of the avodah, in other words, the first stage of the avodah taking place, the kashrus, and now the kohenim are able to continue with the avodah. Anyway, so Rabbi Yeshua says, Kol shahoyt l'shach heter l'koyinim, any korban where there was a period of heter for the koyinim, ein moylem bo, so Me'ila no longer applies to that korban, v'chol shahoyt l'shach heter l'koyinim, any korban where there was no shach heter l'koyinim, moylem bo, then Me'ila still applies to it because there hasn't been anything done to take it out of Me'ila yet. The ezel shach heter l'koyinim, what are examples of where the korban had shach heter l'koyinim? Lona. One example is if it was left overnight, and therefore it became possible by Lina. So we have to distinguish over here, by the way. Lon is not exactly the same thing as Noyster. I mean, you have, for example, Shlomim, it's still, this can be eaten for 2 days, so it's left overnight, it's not possible. Lon means, in other words, that the boster and the dam were left over. In other words, the dam wasn't sprinkled. Vishinitmit, or it became Tomei. The Shayasa, or was taken out of the Azara, or outside of Yerushalayim, as the case may be. The Ezeli Shalot, so those are ones that had Shachet or Lakayim, because you could have, because, for example, Shalomit, you could have sprinkled the blood that day. Shanitmet, it didn't have to become Tomei. Shayasa, you didn't have to take it out of the Azara. The Ezeli Shalot, Hoysalot, Shachet or Lakayim. What is a case where a Korban didn't have Shachet or Lakayim? For example, Shanishchot or Chutzlus Mana or Chutzlum Lakayim, where they shafted it with a Machshava, of chutzpah's mana, which makes it pigol, or chutzpah makayma, which makes it tossel, which keeps up full of nizak rasdama, or that koyanim, or other people who are tossel, caught the blood in the mizrak, or sprinkled it, so those men never had shakhet of the koyanim, because the avodis themselves were done with school. Yeah. Okay. Tatani Mia Risha. Now let's go back to, at any rate, we see that the Risha uses the expression, Shalonim of Rishinitmis Rishayasa. We have the expression that it was left overnight, or it became Tomei, or it was taken out of the Azara. My love, Lona Mamish. Lachor of the word Lona means exactly that. That it was left, that the Boster and the Dam were left overnight. In other words, the point is, the Dam was left over, it was, the Zrika wasn't done. If the boster is left overnight, that in and of itself doesn't make it possible. I mean, if it's a chatas or any other kodshin, fine, it becomes possible overnight, but if it's a kodshin palam, it's still kosher the next day. Besides which, once the zika is done properly, there's no chiddush that Me'ila doesn't apply to it. At that point, you're allowed to eat the korban. So if they ended up leaving over a piece of the korban and it became noiser, obviously Me'ila doesn't apply to it. Once the koyanim were able to eat it, for sure not. The chiddush is, in other words, that even though, so that's the question. On the face of it, lona means the blood was never sprinkled, so it never had, there was never a period when the koyanim could actually eat it. And v'hacha di'iboy habazorik. Now in this case, again, we're talking about l'chorda, they could have sprinkled it because there was no other stool in it. Shenishmit and shiyasa is a different matter, but those are other stolen, but here we're talking about the only problem is that the blood was left without being sprinkled that
way.
Let's say for no reason, yeah. Or whatever. The Kohen were busy, but whatever it is, the point is. But the boy had a Zorik, if they wanted, they could have sprinkled it, because Honey the Ain Myelin, and yet we're saying that it's considered that it had Shachta, and therefore that Ne'ilah doesn't apply. So therefore, so Rav Ashi was just telling us that we don't say Kol Omid Lizrik to Zorok Dami, and therefore we say that if the blood wasn't sprinkled, the Saka, it wasn't sprinkled, and therefore there was no Shachta Kosha yet. Based on this Mishnah, it seems that even if the blood wasn't sprinkled, it's considered that it had Shachta Kosha, because Rabbi Yeshua called it Shachta the Kohen, that there was a time that conceivably the Kohen could have sprinkled the blood and eaten it. So that works out. So that works out according to the explanation that we said before, that Rabbi Shimon would say that not just when it comes to Pidyon, but also when it comes to Zika, that we would say even though it wasn't done, it's considered as though it's done, enough to give it a Shachta Kosha. But according to Rabbi Ashi, how does this work? The answer is like, Ru'uya Lotis, Ru'uya Latami, Ru'uya Lotis. No, because the Mishnah doesn't necessarily mean that it actually was taken out or it actually became Tomei, or it means that it was Ru'uya. So what does that mean? In other words, so Rashi has two explanations. One explanation, the first explanation of Rashi is he takes out the word Ru'uya Lotis. Ru'uya Lona would tackle, in other words, what it would mean is, according to Rashi's first explanation, Lona, Vishinithmis, Vishayasa, means that it was Lona at a time when it could have become possible by Yotze and Truma. Now, when does it become possible by Yotze and Truma? After the Zrichat Adam, there's no more possible Psulim, because that's it, that's the last Avodah of this Korban. Now, there's nothing else that could possibly make this Korban possible. Now, the only things that could make it possible at this point are Yotze or Truma. So Lona, Vishinithmis, Vishayasa is not three different cases. It's one case that it was Lona after the Zrika was done, where at that point the only possible problems that should happen is that are Yotze and Truma. Essentially, that's what we're saying. In other words, so therefore, only if the blood was actually sprinkled. If the blood hadn't been sprinkled, if the blood had been left overnight and became possible, you couldn't call it Ru'uya L'Kosel. It's already possible. Ru'uya L'Kosel implies it's still kosher. Rabbi Yaakov, please move the phone a little bit away because we're getting feedback over here. I don't have a thing to hear him. Or mute your phone, as the case may be, yeah. Anyway, so Ru'uya L'Kosel means it's still kosher. If the blood hadn't been sprinkled, it's already kosher because the blood was left overnight. So that's what we mean. Ru'uya L'Kosel, Ru'uya L'Kosel. So that's Rashi's first explanation, is that we take out the words Ru'uya L'Kosel. Rashi's second explanation is that it does mean all of them, that it means that, again, the blood was sprinkled. There's no further kosher, there's no further psul in it, but now it's capable of being possible by any of these three things. Again, it amounts to the same thing, kind of. Ru'uya L'Kosel means that right now it's still kosher. But it means, in other words, unlike Rashi's first explanation, where Lona is not, where it's not Ru'uya Lolon, it's rather it's explaining it was actually Lon, but it was Lon during a time when either of the other two psulim could happen. In the second version of Rashi, we're saying that we're talking about where any of those three things could happen. It could be Lon, it could be Tomei, it could be Yotze.
And the previous version?
The previous version was we took out Lolon because we're talking about it was already, that the blood was already sprinkled. Anyway, we should say that's what it means, therefore, that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't mean that if the blood wasn't sprinkled, then it had shachet l'kohen and therefore Me'ilah doesn't apply. He would require that the blood was actually sprinkled. And therefore that fits with what Rav Ashi and Rav Nachman were saying, that only if the blood was actually sprinkled did we say that then we start talking about shachet kosher or not.
Because
if it wasn't sprinkled, we don't say we consider it as if it could have been sprinkled. Right.
There was no shachet.
Right. So the question is, Avalina Mamishma. So what are you going to tell me? So if you're understanding the Mishnah that way, are you telling me then that if it actually was left over without the blood being sprinkled, my, what would be the din? Hachinami de Moilin? Then you would say that the Mishnah is implying, that Rabbi Yeshua is implying in the Mishnah that Me'ilah still applies. In that case, hi, kol shahoyla shachet l'kohenim, v'chol shalai hoitala. Because that's what we're saying. Because we're saying, when are we saying that Me'ilah no longer applies? Only when the blood was actually sprinkled, and then afterwards there was Yotze or Tomei or whatever. Before that, there was no Shachta Kosher, it sounds like, yeah.
Right.
So in that case, then the wording of the Mishnah doesn't fit. Hi, Kol Shaholah Shachet Lakoyanim, Kol Shaholah Shachet Lakoyanim. In that case, why use the expression that it had a Shachet Lakoyanim, or didn't have in the past a Shachet Lakoyanim, which sounds like it's a case where you could have sprinkled the blood and you didn't. In that case, the expression should be kosher yesh lo shachet lakoinim ein molin bov, kosher ein lo shachet lakoinim molin bovin boilei. It should have said in the present tense, does it have a shachet kosher, or does right now, or does it not have a shachet kosher right now? The blood's already been sprinkled. Does it now have that before the blood was sprinkled, some other psul took place, for example, shenishcha tochutz man of a chutzul mekayim, etc. Where there, right now, it has no, that point, it has no shachet kosher. It right now, as the korban stands in front of us, it has no shachet kosher. Versus when the zrika was done properly, and then afterwards, let's say nitma or yasa or whatever, where right now it still has shachet kosher. If you're going to understand, again, if you're going to say that the Mishnah is talking about literally whether the blood was left over or not, then you can talk about it had or didn't have shachet kosher. You could have yesterday sprinkled the blood, and in the end you didn't yesterday sprinkle the blood. So therefore you can distinguish whether it had shachet kosher at the time when the blood could have been sprinkled. But if you're going to explain the Mishnah like Rav Ashi and Rav Nachman, that the only way is if the blood was actually sprinkled, then you don't have to talk about, then there's no sense in talking about there was or there wasn't shachet kosher. Does it have shachet kosher right now or not?
In other words, according to Rav Ashi, shachet kosher is the same as hefker kohanim.
Well, I mean, it is. We're equating them over here. But the point is that according to Rav Ashi, we shouldn't use the expression shahoyaloi or shaloi hoysaloi or whatever, implying that we're talking about something that's happened previously at an earlier stage of the korban. We should be talking about what is right now. Elo Amar Rav Ashi. So rather, Rav Ashi explains, or I don't know, goes to Yonim over here, takes out the word Ella, because we're not really going back on our previous explanation. We're still, Rav Ashi is still sticking to his position that there's a difference between Pidyon and Zrika. So Rav Ashi says, Ilo Atuma Koromit. You're trying to argue that there's a contradiction between that case in the mission in Ne'ilah regarding the dinim of Ne'ilah versus the dinim of Tumah Seichlin. There's a big difference. Ne'ilah Mishum Kedusha, the reason why a thing is subject to Ne'ilah is because it has Kedusha. Because the whole concept of Ne'ilah is, does it right now have Kedusha, or does it not have Kedusha right now? Once it becomes mutter for the Kohanim, then it doesn't have that same level of Kedusha anymore. Because,
then when?
As opposed to before the Zrika was done. So, once the zrika is done, then the kedusha of it goes away, the kedusha that prevents kohenim from eating it, and now that's it. There's nothing left of that. And there we could say kol omer lizrik kezorah zomi. There you could say that even if you didn't sprinkle it yet, nevertheless we could say that the fact that you could have sprinkled it is enough to take away meal. But when it comes to truma, so therefore, well. One second. Let's learn inside. Ne'ilah mishum kedusha v'la'af kedusha. Ne'ilah, the question is, does it have a certain level of kedusha or not? Labasa de pakalo kedusha say, and once that kedusha goes away, b'may hadra rachbalei. How is it going to go? And right on it again. In other words, that's it. That level of kedusha is gone. So there we could say, even kolo omer lizrik tezorah zami, we could say that once it's ready to have the blood sprinkled, then we'll apply Rabbi Yeshua's rule that it has shach hetzel akoyim. At that point, conceivably it could have become mutter for the koyim to eat, and that's enough already to take away because zrika could have been done. But tumah mishum oichla. When it comes to tumah, the key thing is not whether it has kedusha. The key thing is it food or not? So therefore, So what it means is like this. So if so, so so we're not going to say this idea that if he wanted, he could have sprinkled, and therefore we should consider it already that it's considered food. That we're going to say the kol hechad boy mati zorik zorik mati zorik. We're going to say that if he wanted, he could have sprinkled it, and that would be enough meshavel oichol. That's enough to make it food. That is considered now food. No, hechad hechad boy mati zorik loy mati zorik. No, if it's just a matter that he could have done the zrika, but he didn't actually do it, that's not enough to make it food yet. Therefore, the lomah tamat chumas oifon. But therefore, it's not matamat chumas oifon yet.
So basically, we're saying that
basically there's a difference. In other words, between ni'ila, where the question is what level of kedusha does the turban have now? Once it reaches the point where it's ready to have zrika done, then that level of that before Zrika, then that level of Kedusha goes away, and now it's become now Me'ila no longer applies to it, even if they didn't do the Zrika properly, because it had Shaka Kedusha, because they could have.
Me'ila doesn't apply before the Zrika.
That's what we're saying. If in the end the Zrika wasn't done. So in other words, we can say we don't have to say, like this, we were arguing before that Lona maybe means. We were arguing before that lona maybe means the blood was sprinkled, but we're talking about then a piece of the korban was left overnight. Now we're talking about that lona means it was during a time when it could have been nisma or yotza, but otherwise it was kosher. Now we don't have to say that. We could say that lona means exactly what it sounds like. The blood was left overnight, but never, and therefore the korban became possible. It wasn't sprinkled. But nevertheless, because they could have, that's enough to take off that level of kosher that it has that gives it a status of mizrach. On the other hand, when it comes to making something food and having to use tamat chumas oifon, then you need the actual thing has to have been done. The actual zrika has to be done before the zrika is done. You can't eat it. So me'ila may not need zrika, but tumah would. So therefore, no contradiction from that mishnah in me'ila to Rav Ashi's position over here that we don't say kol over the zrika zorik.
The point, only time that there is the possibility of me'ila, the point of this would be only when it's hot, but he could have sprayed it, but he didn't spray it.
Well, that's no. Then we say that there's no, that Me'ila doesn't apply to it anymore.
So what point, when does it apply?
So, okay, so there's actually a difference between kodshim and kodshim talim. But let's talk, for example, about kodshim. Me'ila applies to them from when you designate them as a korban until, as we're saying over here, the zrika, or when the zrika could have been done, as we're saying now, according to this. At that point, the meat of it becomes mutter to eat for the koyanim, or even we're saying even if the blood wasn't sprinkled, it could have, and that's enough to be considered shachet of the koyanim, and therefore me'ila no longer applies to it. In the case of kodesh and talim are a little bit different, me'ila only applies to the emorim, that's a whole different, matter.
Me'ila applies to after the shita and
beef. So it applies before the shita as well. You took an animal and designated it as an oiler or a hachas or what have you. That at that point, me'ila would apply to it. If you were to work with that animal or shear it or whatever, then until the zrika. And now we're saying, according to Rav Ashi, we don't say that it means the actual zrika. It means that it means shata kosher. It means that zrika could have been done because there was no other source. Okay. Fine. The Gemara continues basically. Okay, but I have another contradiction. A braisa says. Hamevi Oshem Tolery. If a person brings an Oshem Tolery, which an Oshem Tolery is where a person was over, where a person may have been over on something that Chayav Paris. Classic example is he had two pieces of fat in front of him. One is Chelev, one is Shulman, which is Mutter. He ate one of them, the other one is lost. He doesn't know whether he ate the Chelev or the Shulman. He brings an Oshem Tolery which protects him from punishment, Min HaShemayim, and if he ever finds out, and if he ever finds out that what he ate is a Chelev, then he actually brings a Chas. Okay. Hamevi Oshem Tolui, so a person is bringing an Oshem Tolui, the Noidel Shalei Chota, and then he found out that he actually didn't do the Aveda. He finds out, let's say, that the piece that he ate was Shulman. Yes. So it depends. Im Adshalei Nishkat Noideloi, if he finds out before the korban was shechted, fine. Yaste the year of the Eder Divir of Meir. The Meir says no problem. The animal can go back and graze with all the other animals because it's Chulin. Since he wasn't choseh in the end, since he didn't do any aveira, and since it turns out that he didn't do any aveira, therefore the mayor says the animal has no kedusha now. You can treat it like any other animal. You can shecht it. Besides, you can shecht it for cholin. You can sell it and use the money for whatever you want. You can work with it. You can whatever. It's not considered shulam.
It was intended to be the kosher.
It was intended to be the osham, right? So yeah. So on Sunday he ate the sopet shrum and sopet chela, whatever. On Monday he designated an animal. On Tuesday he found out that what he ate was shrum. So therefore, the mayor says no problem, the animal loses its kedusha.
Did it have any kedusha?
No, well, if he had ended up bringing it as an ashram tali, sure. It would have been an ashram tali. If he brought it on Tuesday and then he only found that on Wednesday, okay, the whole point of an ashram tali is to bring it for a sopet.
So it cancels it retroactively?
No, it doesn't. That's the point. In other words, it was a carbon. It wasn't Ashim Tali. The Kohenim eat it. Yeah. All right. The Chacham say no. Yira Adshi Yisturid. You still have to, it does have a certain residual Kedusha. Yisturid means it develops a mum. The Shurish Sa'av, Samach Aleph Days, is an Aramaic Shurish, which means unclean, Tomei. We learned the other day, at the beginning of the parish, that Torah itself calls a Baal Mum Tomei. So therefore, standard expression in shots for an animal leaving an animal to graze, so it develops a mum is yistarev.
Just to wander.
No. The yirashi yistarev, it still has to be left to graze until it develops a mum. The yimacher, at that point you sell it. The yifludam of the nadava, and then you put the money of it into one of the nadava boxes in the Beis Mikdash, which end up being used for kais and hazbeach. They end up being used for voluntary olus that the sidra brings.
Once he points us to be the carbon, there's no way. The money has to go through.
Right. And the reason is, Rashi brings from the Gemara and Christus over there, because the Chachamim say, since the person feels he has a guilty conscience over the fact that he may or may not have eaten something that's altered, therefore he goes ahead and definitively is mastership. So even if it turns out later on that what he ate was Shuman, nevertheless the Chum will say when he designated the carbon to begin with, he had in mind that he's definitely going to bring it either way.
So it has
Kedusha. So therefore it has Kedusha to the extent.
Therefore
it means, in other words, that therefore you can't just send it back to Holon and the money of it has to go to another. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yiklav, Rabbi Eliezer says a third opinion. That even if you didn't check it yet, you can still go ahead and offer it now as a korban. She'im ene ba as an asher talis. She'im ene ba chesed harei ba chadaka. Because after all, Rabbi Eliezer says, even if it's not coming for this avera, it could very well be coming for another avera. The Gemara brings over there in Christus that Rabbi Eliezer says yes, misnadev adam asher talis b'chol yom. A person could be, if he wants, he could be misnadev an asher talis every day in case he did an avera. That halacha is not like that, so the Gemara mentions that the Gemara, in case he did an avera, right. The Gemara, we've talked about before, that the Gemara says over there that Bava ben Butta used to do that. He used to bring an Ashram Tolu every day in case he had done an avera, except for, it says over there he couldn't bring it the day after Yom Kippur, because it's still Meshul Yom Machapur, so the day after Yom Kippur he definitely has no Sopik Avera, so anyway. You can't bring the Dorim and the Dabas on Shabbos, of course, not we mean on weekdays.
It was written.
Yes, I know. Could be. I mean, you have a different Gemara in Beis that mentions when you had the famous machlokas, the Shammai, the Tzil, about whether you can bring olus on Yom Tov or only Shlomim. The Gemara mentions over there that at one point people were thinking to follow Beis Shammai, and they then above him, so it says over there that Bavim and Butta brought a whole bunch of sheep to the Azara and announced anybody who wants to bring them as an Ola and do smicha, and then can go ahead and do that, and thus the halacha was established definitively like this. So yeah, I guess he must have been rich enough to be able to do that kind of thing. Anyway, whatever. Okay. So the point is, so if the korban hadn't been shechted yet, we have three opinions. We have the mayor saying it has no kedusha at all. We have the chachamim saying it has residual kedusha, and therefore you have to leave it so it develops a mum, etc. And we have Rabbi Eliezer saying you can go ahead and be makruv as an actual ashram tali.
Because it has kedusha.
Yeah, because it is an ashram tali. Yeah. Continues the mishnah. Mishnishchat nozavoy. What happens if he only finds out that what he ate was not chalav after the korban was shechted, before the rest of the avoda of the korban was done? In that case, the blood should be spilled out onto the ground, and the meat should be burnt, because effectively it's chulin shenishchatu ba'azara, because according to the mayor and according to the chachamim, effectively it's chulin, because you didn't have to bring it. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the stammer would say that's still good.
So you can't bring Ashim Tali today.
That's according to Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Nizrach Adam, what happens at a further stage, if the blood of the korban was sprinkled, and here's the key thing, this is why we're bringing this in over here, if the blood was already sprinkled, and then he found out that what he ate was not salad, habotu ya'achol, then fine, the kohenim can still eat the meat, because after all, the whole thing came for a sophist to begin with, and therefore, at the time when the kapara was done, namely by the zrika, there was still a sophist. Remember, and then Rabbi Yossi says, "Afilu hadam b'kois." No, even if the blood, it doesn't have to be that the blood was already sprinkled. Even if the blood is in the keli, is in the mizrach, ready to be sprinkled, and it hasn't been sprinkled yet, hadam yizarek ba'bosi yachol. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi says, even though he found out now that he didn't eat, that what he ate was truman, and there's no reason for him to be bringing an ashen toler. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi says, go ahead and sprinkle the blood, and the kohenim eat the meat. And the Omar Rava, and Rava says, Rabbi Yossi, the Shitta Rabbi Shimon Omar, Rabbi Yossi is following Rabbi Shimon's Shitta in that, the Omar Kola Omar Lizra Kazarov Zami, where he says, blood that's supposed to be sprinkled is as if it was sprinkled. So Rav Ashi and Rav Nachman are telling us that not, that there's a difference between Pidyon, which is verbal, and Zrika, which is an action, or between taking away an Isra versus making something food, etc. Here we see clearly that Rabbi Shimon holds Kola Omar Lizra Kazarov Zami.
Rav Yossi disagrees with...
Well, that's the question. I mean, Rav Ashi and Rav Nachman are Amiroi. If we say that, if we're saying that's what Rav Shimon holds, then what are they doing? The answer is, the Gemara says, Midi Hu Taima. You think that that's the reason why Rav Yossi says what he says? No, there's a different reason. Rav is saying the reason is that Rav Yossi follows Rav Shimon. But that's not the actual reason. Amri b'mal Rav m'shmei de Rav Yossi bar Chanina, because they said in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rav Yossi bar Chanina. No, Rav Yossi bar Chanina is an Amora. Okay. Rav Yossi is a Tana.
Oh.
Yeah. So they said in the name of Rav Yossi bar Chanina, explaining the shitta of Rav Yossi the Tana, that kind of time of the Rav Yossi, the reason why Rav Yossi says that even if the blood is already in the Mizrach, you can go ahead and sprinkle it. The reason is because of the Kasava, because he holds Klei Sharis Mekadshin et Apsolim Machachila Lichrav. Because Rav Yossi holds that clay shorets are makadish things that are posel lachatchila to be offered as a korban. Posel lachatchila means, in other words, not totally posel. In this case, I mean, we're not talking about like the korban became posel because of pigle or because kid were psulin or whatever. All those various typical cases. Here, the psul is only because the person finds out that he didn't actually do the avera. That's not considered a real psul, says Rav Yossi, and therefore he says the klisharis can be makadish the blood, and once it was makadish the blood, then yeah, you go ahead with the rest of the avod of the carbon. So nothing to do with Rav Shimon holding that kolah imed lizrik tazarof dami. Rava can be going according to the previous version in the Gemara, according to the stum of the Gemara, but Rav Ashi is entitled to his opinion. Following Rabbi Yossi of Chanina, that what Rabbi Yossi is saying over here has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and therefore that Rabbi Shimon would still say that Kol Omer Lizrik is not the Zohar of them.
This is a kind of in between. In the Kaili. So.
Right. Well, that's
to do that.
Well, that's oh, but only according to Rabbi Yossi. We're saying the Chachamim would disagree. The Chachamim would disagree. But again, so we thought the reason is because, so we said, Rava is saying the reason is because Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon, and in other words, and the Chachamim would disagree and say that Kol Omer Lizrik is not Kazar Sam. Rav Ashi would say everybody agrees Kol Omer Lizrik is not Kazar Sam. The difference is Rabbi Yossi says that the Kaili is able to be Makadish this blood, and the Chachamim would say it's not. Okay, so now Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, let's point out another detail on this. Nida Amar Rav Shimon Kala Omer Lizrik Kezaruf Yami. If we go back to the previous version, in other words, like this, Rav Ashi himself is saying, I don't hold this concept that Rav Shimon holds Kala Omer Lizrik Kezaruf Yami. But if you're going to, Rav Ashi is going to ask the question on the other opinion. If you want to say, like Rava was saying, that Rav Shimon holds Kol Omer Lizrik Kezarof Dami, then we should argue, then by the same logic, Kol Omer Lizrik Nami Kezarof Dami, we should argue that Rav Shimon would say the same thing about burning things, that anything that's meant to be burnt is as if it's already burnt. If we're going to say that, then we have a problem. Going back to the Braisa that we learned on Kuf Aleph from the days, the Braisa where we discussed Rav Shimon's opinion about what Matama Chumas Ofon and not, we said of it, when we mentioned over there Noiser, and we mentioned over there the Parah Adroa, both of those are meant to be burnt. So the question is, Noiser and Parah, am I Matama Chumas Ofon? Then why, according to Rav Shimon, would Noiser and the Parah Adroa, the Chlal be Matama Chumas Ofon? After Ba'am, because they're meant to be burnt. After Ba'am, they should be considered like they're just dust. So therefore, Rav Ashi says that should be a powerful argument against Rava's understanding that Rav Shimon would hold, and some of the Gemara's understanding that Kol Omer Lizrik, Rav Shimon would say Kol Omer Lizrik Kezarof Yomi, because then he would have to say the same thing about Zrika.
Unless you think differently between Zrika and Zrika.
No, because we said before that actually Zrika there's a mitzvah to do it, and Zrika there's also a mitzvah to burn Noiser, and there's a mitzvah to burn the Parah Adroma. Amalei, so Rav Kahana answers him, true, but Chivat HaKodesh Machsharton. Again, the concept of Chivat HaKodesh that we brought up yesterday, the fact that they are Kodeshim gives them a certain importance that they wouldn't have otherwise had. Even though these things end up becoming ashes, nevertheless, they still have. Chivat HaKodesh is enough to be able to make them that they still, at least until they're burnt, that they do have the status of food.
One second. If we say they're not Kodesh, how can they say they're not Kodesh?
Who said they're not Kodesh? The Noser is Kodesh. It comes from Kodeshim. The Paragrama is Kodesh. It has the Kodesh better come out. So we can say that Chibas HaKodesh is enough to make them mukher, is enough to make them able to be the Kabbal Tumah at least until the point that they're burnt. Fine, we could argue once they're burnt, maybe not, but at least we can say that up until that point, until they're burnt, the fact that we say that Kolayim of Bistrik, to start off Domi, we're not going to say that. Chibas HaKodesh would oppose that and say, yes.
Until they're burnt, they still have
tradition? Well, that, but also more to the point is until they're burnt, they would still be considered food. Again, Rav Shimon had pointed out the part of Adjoma, because even after it's chested, you could conceivably be part of it, according to Rav Shimon. And Noiser, similarly, it is food. It's also to eat, and the person is high carbs for eating it, but it is food, and it had chapter kosher, as we discussed before. So there is a mitzvah to burn it, but until you actually burn it, Chibas HaKodesh makes it that it's still able to be mekabel tumah. No, it isn't. That's the point. Therefore, it is mekabel tumah. That was Rav Ashi's question, was that according to Rava's understanding of Rav Shimon, we should say they shouldn't be Matamah Tumas Ochlin, because as soon as they become Noiser, or as soon as the Par Adruma is shechted, then already they're meant to be burnt, and we should consider them as if they're already burnt. But we're saying, Chivat HaKodesh goes against, stands up against that, and makes it that they can still be considered food.
Everybody agrees to that?
Well, that's what we're saying. That Rav Kahana is saying that. You can understand. You can, Rava can use that to defend his understanding of Rav Shimon.
Don't say that it's meant to be burnt.
That's the answer. Chibat HaKodesh goes against that. If it was just something that was meant to be burnt and there was no Chibat HaKodesh, sure, we would say it's considered burnt. Everybody agrees to the concept of Chibat HaKodesh. We discussed before, is it Daraita, is it Rabbanon, is whatever, yeah.
But in that specific case.
Amale Ravina Ravashi. Okay, so then Ravina asks Ravashi, in that case, we have in that case, the question is, Nihi de Mahaniel who Chibat HaKodesh Le'Ispulei de Gufa. Fine. Chibat HaKodesh might be reason enough to say that they themselves can become possible. But Likruya Tommy Nami Lemimim Be'edrishin Vashani. Are you going to say that Chibat HaKodesh goes so far as to say that these things are able to transmit Tuma to other food? That these foods, if they're tamei, are going to be considered the rishon, and the next food that they touch is going to be considered sheni, and so forth. How does Chibas HaKodesh? Okay, that was what you were asking. Fine. Okay, so how does Chibas HaKodesh make it possible for it to become tamei as one thing, for it to give tumah to something else? But because of Chibas HaKodesh, what's the logic? And if you're going to say that the logic is okay, once it's able to become tamei, it's able to make other things tamei. In that case, tifshit the boy Rish Lakish. In that case, you should be able to answer a question that Rish Lakish asks. The boy Rish Lakish, solid shogunos, the dry part of a mincha. The Rashi explains, in other words, that we're talking about, like this, a mincha is flour, it's supposed to be mixed with oil, but inevitably, when you mix it with oil, not every grain of flour gets mixed in with the oil. You have parts of it, maybe, that remain dry. Now, if they remain dry, they weren't necessarily mukshel the kabel tumah yet. The food only becomes mukshel the kabel tumah when it touches one of the shiva mash. Well, not when it becomes wet, but when it becomes wet with one of the shiva mashkin, when it's lorosa, and even if afterwards it's dried it. Right, here this wheat.
Oil also?
Oil is one of the shiva mashkin, sure. Yav shochat dam. And the point is, in other words, this wheat, this flour wasn't necessarily washed or whatever, so,
when you pour water or liquid into a flour,
No, but I'm talking about typically you have, a lot of times when you make flour, you have at an earlier stage, you wash the kernels with water in order to get off some of the bran and some of the other stuff or whatever. Obviously, you don't do it, for example, with flour from matzahs. Now, the assumption is, I guess, you don't do it with flour from matzahs either for the same reason. Anyway, the point is, therefore, that yes, so you can have this dry flour, never touched water, never touched any other liquid. It's not mukshel the kabel tumah. And the Shlokish asked the question, do we say that it's able to transmit Tuma to other things? If a Sheret touches that dry part of the flour, do we now consider that dry part of the Rishon, and any other food that it touches becomes a Sheni, etc., or not? Maybe we say that it's enough for it to become Tomei on its own, so fine, Sibbeth HaKodesh. Well, say Sibbeth HaKodesh, fine, but maybe not that it can make other food Tomei. So based on what we just said, if we're going to argue that Chibas HaKodesh is enough to make that the Noiser and the Parda Adruma are not only able to become Tomei Tuma Seichlin, but make other things Tomei Tuma Seichlin, then we have the answer that yes, when it comes to anything that can become Tomei on the ground of Chibas HaKodesh, even though, yeah.
What makes worse over here, the fact that the oil...
The fact that it didn't touch oil, so therefore it's not mukhshar the kabel tumah.
That's worse or it's better?
Well, it means normally it would be better. It means it can't become tumah, even if a sheret touches it. In this case, we're saying, fine, that it itself can become tumah, fine. It's part of a mincha, it's chibas hakodesh, and all that, so fine. We can consider it as if it was mukhshar the kabel tumah. But maybe not to the extent of being the tamay or the thing. Yeah. The answer is Kimi Boila, there's a Shlokish. By the way, there's a toast that's in Chulin, because you have the part of the Sugya in Chulin as well, where Tosfos gives a couple of other explanations about the Sodid Shomanachos. Because Tosfos says, I don't understand. If you're talking about one mincha, where it's all in one cave, and part of it got wet with oil and part of it didn't, of course the whole thing is combined together. We learned in Zvachim about the concept of Siddur Kli, that we have, not in Zvachim, actually, earlier in Amasetta, about Siddur Kli, that a keli is the start of everything that's in it when it comes to Kodshim. So therefore, Tosfos gives a couple of other explanations. One is that we're talking about a mincha that's supposed to be dry, namely, for example, mincha koto, mincha snow. No oil is supposed to be put in there. So yeah, those conceivably could have never been mukhshar the kabel tumah.
They can also
even in
a cave. Yeah, they put in a kli shoreis, but they never touched any liquid. So again, the point is that there is also the possibility that your shlokish could ask, fine, that it itself should become tomei from a sheret, sure, chibas hakodesh. But you should say that if it became tomei from a sheret, and then some other food should become tomei from it, maybe not. Okay, the answer is, Kini Boiler, the Shlokish, Daraisa. Okay, but the Shlokish is asking the question on Daraisa level. Do you actually have to burn the next thing that it touched or not? She came in and did a bottom. Here in our Sugya, when we're talking about the whole issue of Tumas Osman over here, we're talking about Tumas Dirabon. And therefore the question, so Rosh Lakish is asking the question, Daraisa. We can say, on a Daraisa level, maybe it's Matame, the second thing, maybe not. On a Dirabonim level, we can say definitely it is. Now, fine, we're going to say that nevertheless, it doesn't mean necessarily that you burn the second thing, Rashi says. In general, when Kodshim are Tomei with a Tumah Dirabonon, you're not going to say that you don't burn them. There's a few exceptions, but in general, for Tumah Dirabonon, you don't burn Kodshim. But it would have to be toiling. You would have to set it aside, and like you're not sure what to do with it, whether to eat it or to burn it. Because it might be, toiling, until eventually it becomes fossil by Luna or what have you, and then you burn it. So we're left with Rav Ashi's challenge against Rava it's not necessarily a challenge, because we can say Rava can say that Chibas HaKodesh is enough to say that yes, Rav Shimon will say Kolayim Litzrit to start of Yomi. Nevertheless, though, Chibas HaKodesh stands up against that. Therefore, that's enough for Noiser and the Parah Adruma to be Mitame to Masoifin, and even at least on a Bidrabanan level to be Mitame other food as well. We're asking, Rosh Lakish is asking, does that apply on a Daraisa level or not?
And it does?
Well, that's the question. Rosh Lakish asked that question. So it's a thought. The Gemara, I mean, you actually have different places in the Rambam where he deals with this, and then in some places the Rambam seems to say that you do count a sheni, and in other cases the Rambam seems to say it's a topic, so you have a Noita Kalim, have a field day with that. But one interesting thing that comes out of this whole discussion of we're arguing that at least according to Reb Shimon, if something is supposed to be burnt, it's considered as if it's burnt, this has an interesting implication as far as practical halacha nowadays, as far as dinim of gittin. The question would be, are you allowed to write a get on something which is on something which is also b'hanah? So the Ram writes like, if it's also b'hanah, but there's no particular mitzvah to destroy it, sure. There's no particular din that a get has to be written on something that's mutar b'hanah. Although the Chalkas Mechokik argues that on the face of it you're having hanah because you're saving on paper, but okay, whatever, fine. You could say that it doesn't passel the get itself. You were over an avera by having hanah from something you shouldn't, but the get itself would still be kosher. The question is, what if it's the type of isurei hanah that are supposed to be burnt? For example, let's say we're talking about over here noiser. So let's say a person took a piece of noiser and then wrote a get on it. Yeah, the question would be, is it a kosher get or not? Or you have more day-to-day examples, chometz for Pesach, Shalaya Kerem, etc. Yeah. So the Ram says, no, in that case, because given that our Gemara is saying over here, kol ha'omer mitzvah ketzorach yomi, it's as if it's burnt, so therefore, what are the letters on? The letters are just floating in the air, so you don't have a valid get. And you have them, that I'm not accustomed like that. So if he would write it, and he threw it on... Yeah.
And
therefore, it would be considered as if it was already burned. Yeah. So therefore, so the Ram says that in fact, therefore, such a get would be possible, and that Amlah brings that lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch. However, the Noseh Kalim on Shulchan Aruch, Chalkas Mechokik over there, has a long discussion about that.
He does agree with that.
Well, that's the question. He says, first of all, this is all according to the Shimon.
Exactly.
Yeah. So evidently the Ram would understand that maybe the Chachamim agree with the basic concept. And you have actually, there are places in the Gemara where it seems that we hold that something that's supposed to be done is considered as if it's done. So maybe to that extent, besides, it's not so simple that the halacha is like the Chachamim. I've seen it quoted that Rashi over here also says, although I didn't see it inside in Rashi, that the halacha is in fact like a Shimon. So in that case, yeah. So then, I've seen it quoted that Rashi would hold the halacha as like Rav Shimon, but that I don't see it over here in our Gemara. The Rambam, on the other hand, the Rambam on the surface at least passed him for Chachamim. Although the Rambam, I don't think spells it out in so many words. He has the Noseh Kalim on the Rambam deal with what he actually holds as far as that. But anyway, so the Chalk Machlokes argues this is all according to Rav Shimon. Who says the halacha is like Rav Shimon? The halacha may well be like the Chachamim. So then you have a whole back and forth on it that maybe it would be kosher and be a sausage. Okay. Anyway. Okay. All right. Mishnah says, now we're going to get back to Menachos per se. Okay. Ha'omer harei alav b'machas behavior b'machas. If a person says, I am making a neder to bring a mincha in a machas, which we learned earlier in the Masechta is a shallow pan.
A frying pan.
Similar to a frying pan, yes. Then we had a machlokas before between Rashi and the Rambam, whether it actually has sides or not, or if it's just a flat sheet of metal, but whatever. Anyway, we said the maaseh koshin, the menachos that come out of it are harder. Anyway, so he made a neder to bring a minchas machlas, behavior b'macheshes. Instead, he brought it in a macheshes in a deep pan, or b'macheshes behavior b'machlas. Mashehevi hevi. Okay, the korban that he brought. It's a valid korban. V'yidei chaybasa lo yasa, but he wasn't yoyse his korban because he didn't bring what he brought it effectively as an adaba. So he still owes his net. On the other hand, if he says zu lahavi b'machla, if he says he started a flower in front of him, he says this I'm making a neder to bring in a machla, behavior machleshes and brought in a machleshes behavior machleshes, harayz psula, then it's outright possible because once he put it in the keli that he said, once he put it in the wrong kind of keli, that's it. There's no undoing that.
But I said the actual food is what he's
zoomed. No, he made a condition on the food itself, right, on the flour itself. So now when he said, I'm going to bring it on a machlas, and instead he brought it on a machashas, so he passled it. He now passled that flour from being brought to the minchah.
Because he brought
it to the keli? Because he put it in a different type of keli, yeah.
Zoom
is going on a flour. But he said, this flour I'm going to bring as a machlas, as a minchas machlas, and instead he brought it as a minchas machlas. You have a discussion. The Chofetz Chaim talks about in Zevach Toida. Are we talking about over here that just means he put it in the keli and that's enough to already passel it, or does it mean he actually fried it in the keli, made it into a minchas machlas or machlas? So the first case was he didn't say zu. He said, I'm going to bring a minchas machlas. And then he brought a minchas machashas instead. Okay, it's a valid minchas machashas. The person can bring it. In the first case, he didn't say, the difference is in the first case, he didn't say anything about this flower. He said, I'm going to bring a minchas machashas. Instead, he brought a minchas machashas. Okay, good, he brought a minchas machashas. The person can bring a minchas machashas whenever they want. So it doesn't count for his neder, but he still has it. Yeah. But if he said, Zula, hobby of machashas, Then he was saying keveya, that it has to be a certain type of mincha, and now he brought it as a different type of mincha, so that passes it. Okay, another example. Ha'omer harel shnei esronis lahavi b'kliachad. If somebody says, I'm making a neder to bring a mincha of two esronim, which we're going to learn in the next couple of days, that you can bring a mincha larger than one esronim, up to 60 esronim, we're going to talk about. So a person makes a neder that he can bring two esronis, a flour, lahavi b'kliachad, where he intends to bring them in one keli, as one big mincha of two esronim. behaved the Shnei Kalim, and instead he brought them in two Kalim, or the Shnei Kalim behaved the Kriya Chodah, or the other way around, he made a matter that he can win two separate Menachos, each one of Nisaron, and instead he puts them all in one Kalim. Again, Masha Hevi Hevi, what he brought, they're valid Menachos, Videi Chayvot Olayot, but he wasn't Yoyse his Chayvot because he didn't do like his nether thing. But on the other hand, Eilu, Masha Hevi Hevi, what he brought is a valid carbon. It's still a valid mincha. They'll still take a carbon instrument. They'll still, the carbon will still eat it. Yeah. But it wasn't as it's a carbon. Eilu b'kliyach v'hevi in b'shnei kelim. But if he said, these particular astronim of flour, I'm going to bring in one keli, and instead he brought them in two kelim, or b'shnei kelim v'hevi b'kliyach, harei l'psulim, then they're possible. Because again, then he once he put it in the keli, it was kezeya, and now he can't change it. Another example, Harei Olai Shnei Esronis Lahavi B'Kliyachad. Suppose the person makes a neder that he's going to bring two Esronis, and intending to bring them in one Kali, the Hevi the Shnei Kalim, and then instead he ended up bringing them in two Kalim, one in each. And Omruloi, now suppose people remind him, wait a minute, B'Kliyachad Nadauta, you made a neder to bring them in one, you made a neder to bring them in one Kali. If then he ignores what they said, the Kriven Mishnei Kalim, if then he was mocked with them in two Kalim in the end, Psulim, then they're possible. Now here he didn't even say Elu. But the difference is that here, once they told him that, you know, you said one Kali, and he doesn't, and then here, if he means to bring it as a different Kriven, he should be saying so. The fact that he doesn't say so implies that he agrees with them that it was meant to be brought in one Kali, and instead now he's bringing it in two Kalim, and therefore it's possible.
You know, it's nice to bring it into
the kingdom. No, it doesn't. No. Yeah. Similarly, Harei Ola Shnei Astronis Lahavi B'Shnei Kalim, the other way around, if he said, I'm going to bring two Astronis in two separate Kalim, behavior B'Kliyachad, and he brought them both in the one Kalim, and again, Omer Ola B'Shnei Kalim Nadauta, and people remind him, you've made a neder to bring them in two separate Kalim. So then also, B'Kliyachad B'Shnei Kalim Kalim. If then he changes it and takes them out of the one Kalim and puts them into two Kalim, then good. Before he brings it, yeah. Not no the Kliyachad, but if he keeps them both in one Kali, then it has the din to Shtei Menachos Shenis Avu. Then it has the din like two Menachos that were mixed together, where we learned Udi and Arma Sechta at the beginning of the third parak. We said that if there's enough of them that's not mixed, that you're able to take a koyim separately from each one without any of the other mincha being mixed in there, then good, and if not, then not.
You need the kazais to mix them?
No. Well, you need to be able to take koymeth. The koymeth is minimum two kazaisim from each one. In other words, there has to be that they can be, we had a diagram in the Gemara over there, they can be like fingers together like this, but there has to be that the body of one, the body of the other, is intact and separate such that the koymeth can take a smitta from one without having any flour in it on the other end. But if not, then it would be possible because you can't take a full koymeth.
It's only for the big.
Well, if they're baked, then if it's baked, yeah, then if they're baked together, then yeah, it's already like machbas and machashas, yeah. So Gemara points out it's tricha. We need all these various cases in the Mishnah. All these cases of machbak macheshes and shnei kelim and keli echad mishum de'om because the iashmin and hach kamaisa. If we were only told the first case of the machbak and macheshes, you would say, you know why he's not yotze to his neder mishum de'om and machbak macheshes and macheshes. Because the fact of the matter is, he said one type of kesi, one type of mincha, and instead he brought a different case. So sure, he's not yotze to his neder. No different than if a person said, I'm going to bring an ola, and instead he brought a shlomim. Aval Hacha, but in the next case of the Mishnah, involving the two Kalim and the one Kalim, the Aidi v'Aidi v'Machlas, the Aidi v'Aidi v'Machlas, both of them, in either case, he said I'm going to bring a Minchas Machlas, and he brought two Minchas Machlas in, smaller ones, or he said I'm going to bring a Machlas, or one larger one, as the case may be. He said he's going to bring a certain type, one of the five types of Mincha, and he did bring that type, he just split it into two Kalim versus one Kalim. You think maybe he's Yotzei's neder. He did bring the type of korban. He didn't bring a minchas nachas or minchas nachashas. The only question is the size of it. The iash min and hach, and on the other hand, if we only had that case in the Mishnah, with the two and the one, you would say the reason why we'd say it's not Yotzei's neder, mishum dekapolag lohu, because the fact is he split it up. He took a big mincha and split it into two smaller ones, so therefore maybe it says it's not as nice, maybe therefore he's not Yotzei's neder. Aval, Aval Hotham, but like Polig Bay, but in the earlier case of the Mishnah, where the earlier case involving the Machbas and the Machashas, or for that matter in the case of the where he wants to bring them in two separate Kalim and he brings them in one, where he didn't split it up, Amaloi, maybe not, maybe he should even be Yosef's Neder, Tricha, therefore we needed all the cases in the Mishnah to say that in all these cases he's not Yosef's Neder. Tana Rabbanan. Now we learn in a Brayso. So we said in the Mishnah, Mashahedi Hedi Yidei Nidre L'Yosa, that in the cases where he didn't say Zu or Elu or where nobody reminded him, we said that he said there's a korban and a valid korban. It wasn't Yosa in there. However, Rav Shimon Omas Yidei Nidre Yet Nami Yosa. Rav Shimon disagrees, and with the whole Mishnah, he says the fact that you put it in a keli, the fact that you put it in a keli is not enough to make a kavir. It's not enough to make it that now that's it. It was placed in a machlas, therefore now it's a minchas machlas, or it was placed in a machleshes. Now he holds that whole thing doesn't matter. He would hold therefore that you're yotze your neder as well,
regardless of the
keli. No, he argues on the whole mission. He argues even on zoo. Then we said in the Mishnah, Zula Hobby B'machlas, we said that if he said, I'm going to bring this flower in a machlas, and instead he brought it in a machleshes, so we said that's actually possible. So the question is, Valtanya, the kid from Klisharis, we learned in a Braisa that the Klisharis that he put it in did not make them Kaddish, so therefore they can't be possible. Then if they don't have Klisha yet, if they don't have Klisha, then go yet, you can take them and put them in the right place.
According to everybody.
That's the thing. The Oyin Mishnah says that it's possible. Never mind according to Rav Shimon. The Braisa is saying, Loi Kitchum Kli. The Kli was not Makadosh at all. So if it's not Makadosh, it's not possible. Loi Kitchum Kli Shari. Amar Abaya, what it means is Loi Kitchum Likrav. It means that it wasn't Makadosh so far that you can be Makadosh with this turban, Abel Kitchum Li possible. But it is Makadosh to the extent that now it can become possible. We've had this concept before, that you can have that sometimes the klishar is makadish something only partially, enough that it can become possible with tzivul yoyim or yoyster or whatever, or in this case possible because one to a common kviyas keli is significant. But not enough that you should actually be able to mach with it, because the fact is you said that this was supposed to be in a machbat, and instead you put it in a machashet, or vice versa.
So they do have kedusha.
So they have kedusha to the extent that now, because it was placed in the wrong keli, therefore now it's possible. And there's no fixing it. Again, maybe this is talking about only if he actually baked it in there, or fried it in there, whatever. Maybe it's talking about even if he only put it in there. Okay, we'll stop over here for my reason.
Because the flour is still before he actually bakes it, you could always take it out and put it in another one.
Well, that's an argument. On the other hand, if we say Kriya Kaili means as soon as he put it in the Kaili. Remember, the Machbeth and the Macheshes themselves are clay shards. We're not talking about a Machbeth that a person has in their pantry at home or a Macheshes, but then we're talking about ones that belong to the Bismikash. So there's an argument that can be made. And in fact, I think the Chafetz Chaim says, I think from the Lashon of Rashi over here, it seems to imply that as soon as he put it in the Kaili, already the Kaili was Kaveh, even before he actually fried it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.